I'm so glad you're here today. Thank you for coming out. Don't you love the presence of the Lord? Amen, amen, amen. I've been in church my whole life, honestly. Like, I've been attending church my whole life. And as a child, my dad used to take us to church every day. And that was normal life for me. Normal life was going to church. Normal life was reading the Bible. Honestly, like, we read the Bible every day. When we sat at the table, my dad just put the Bible down and said, read. And like, and then he'd say, quote a scripture. And when I was a child, when I had to quote a scripture, do you know what my favorite verse in the entire Bible was? Jesus wept. That's exactly right. Yeah. So that was normal living for me. Like, I just became accustomed to a certain way that we lived and certain things that we did. And I want you to think for a few moments about what normal life for you is. Like, what is normal life? What is it for you on a normal day? Generally, maybe you get up in the morning, you get a cup of coffee. After you get a cup of coffee, you turn on the news. Maybe spend some time with the family, check Facebook, get dressed, take a shower, head out in the car on the way to work, turn some praise and worship music on, blow the horn at some folks. If you didn't do that, you weren't on I-4. But the interesting thing about that is that's a normal day for most people. That normal day, whatever that day was yesterday or the day before, probably looked like the normal day before it. Just a repetition, pretty much just a repetition of the same thing that you had done on the previous normal day. So there are some patterns that we do, some things that we do on a regular basis. In fact, they're telling us that most of what we do isn't a matter of conscious choices. Most of what we do on a normal day is something that we've just ingrained in ourselves. It's been something that's developed down inside of us over a long period of time. And our life ends up being the result of the decisions we made over a long period of time, and then they become even subconscious decisions over a long period of time, and we just do them, carry them out on a regular basis. A Duke University study recently determined that 40% of what we do, 40% of what we do daily is subconscious. It's not even a conscious decision. We're making 40% of our activities, 40% of our decisions every day. They are just simply habits that we do every day. And we've been talking for the last few weeks about habits and establishing habits that will lead us to the place where we want to get to in our life. That ultimately, all of us have a goal. We have a place that we want to reach in our life, whether that's a better marriage or better finances, a better career. All of us, we have some place where we want to get to, maybe in our walk with God, in our health. We have a goal, and I think on some of those goals, maybe many of them, they've been planted down in us from God, and we've been talking about this scripture for a while here, for these last few weeks, John 10:10. I've come that you would have, somebody say it, life and live it to the full, like your life would be full. Like, it's not just a shallow or just living a life without substance. And let me just talk about that for a few moments, because not every life is going to be full of roses and cotton candy all the time. In fact, let me just tell you, there are some people that live very difficult lives. They are living in very difficult places. But the truth is, many of them have found a place in their life where they can feel like their life, and they determine that their life is rich and full and free simply because they're pursuing what God has for their life. And even if it takes them into difficulty, they're going to do it. Even if it's not easy decisions, they're going to pursue what they have, what God has for them. And that in their life becomes a place of fulfillment. So most of us, at some point or another, we have some place that we're trying to get to in our walk with God, or in our walk with our family, or our career, our health. And so we've been saying for a few weeks that we have, John Maxwell says, we have uphill goals, but downhill habits. Like, we want to get up there to God's plan for us, that abundant life, and so we have uphill goals. It's going to take some work to get there, but the problem with it is we have downhill habits. The things that we actually do, they don't actually lead us in the everyday, in the right direction. Many times, the things that we're doing, they're not even conscious decisions. And that's why I've been talking through this series. Like, I want us to get mindful of the decisions that we're making. And some of them, they just seem to be just innate habits to us. But we can break the chain of that. We can break that pattern in our life and get to what God has for us. Maybe you're in this place today and you would like to have better finances. You'd like to actually be able to have money left at the end of the month. You'd like to be a better manager of your finances. There isn't anybody in this room that would say, like, I wouldn't love to be able to pay my bills and still have a few dollars left over. Nobody in this room. And it, seriously, if you're in the place where, like, no, I love being broke, like, you have other prayer issues that we need to pray about. There's nobody in that condition. Like, we all want to move in the right direction in our life, and so we have to establish some habits, some patterns for us to get to those places. The interesting thing, I've been thinking about this for a few weeks, and what I've realized is most of the goals that I have in my life are not unique to me. Many of the goals that you have in your life are not unique to you. We often all have the same goals. Most of us want to have money. Like, we at least not be wealthy, but at least to be able to pay our bills and do something nice for somebody. Most of us want to be able to have good health. Can somebody say amen? Like we want good health. And the interesting thing about that is as we start to think about the things that we have in common, we all want good relationships. Most of us want a closer walk with God. We have similar goals, but how is it that we have different outcomes? How is it that we have different outcomes? And let me just tell you, like, you can say what you want to, and like, you can blame it on, assign it on a lot of stuff in society. And I know society has some issues and culture has some issues, but let me just tell you, you can take two people out of the same family and set them in the same direction, even help them set the same goals, and they end up in two different places. Because one is chosen to pursue a habit of life that will take them up to where they're supposed to go, while the other person has downhill habits. So how about if we do this? Can I just talk for a few moments and say, like, all of us have challenges. How about if we quit blaming everyone and everything around us and take some responsibility for the decisions that we have to make to get us where we need to go? Amen. That is a good place to say amen. Like, I mean, if you're not used to being in an amen church, honestly, like, you don't have to say amen. But if you say amen, I preach faster. It's been my observation that most of us don't end up in the wrong place in life because of one decision. I know that there's a few exceptions in this world, but most of us don't end up in the wrong place in our life because we did the one wrong thing at the one wrong time on that one wrong day, and it was a one-time deal. Most of us, it's a pattern. Most of us, it's a journey. It's a thought process. It's a habitual way of thinking. And as we live our life out in that pattern, we become described. Many of us become described by the patterns that we have in our life. I do memorial services and funeral services. Honestly, I can't tell you how many times I've talked to somebody and they've been able to condense somebody's life into one sentence. You know, he was a really good dad. He was really generous. He was a jerk. I mean, honestly, but people, their whole stories get condensed down into one sentence. And here's the deal. It's not because of something they did one time. It's because line after line, day after day, habit after habit, pattern after pattern, they have written the story of their life that ends up being able to be told in one sentence. A one-line story. Some of us, we have one-line stories about something that took place in our life. Divorced, broken, a single parent. We can pattern a whole decade. We can name a whole decade, you know, my relapse years, you know, it's like my bankruptcy years. Like, so we can condense everything down into one sentence. But here's the interesting thing about this. Most of us don't end up there because we did one thing. Most of us end up in that place because somehow the goals that we have, we don't realize them. Because listen, having goals does not get us to the end. You could have goals all day long. Goals will not determine your success. Do you know what will determine your success? The pattern of life that you live. The pattern of life that you live. Businesses are not successful when they have just like one really good day or they have one good practice. It's when they have layers of good practices. And when they do those good practices, in business, they call it, in church, we call it systems. We have systems that we work. They say that a church is successful based on one thing, the systems that you have. Like if we have good systems for following up with people, we have systems for getting people plugged in, if we have good systems for helping people feel like they belong, get into a connection group, if we have good systems, they say your church is going to be successful if you have good systems. Businesses have good systems. They have good practice. Regardless of what you want to think about them, Chick-fil-A has it down to like a piece of machinery. Yeah. Like, honestly, you can go through Chick-fil-A in like 45 seconds and they know your name and wished you happy birthday. And I'm like, what in the world? Seriously. And then you could go to another one. I won't say Arby's, but you could go to Arby's and sit there for, honestly, you could celebrate multiple birthdays. I'm sorry. If anybody here works at Arby's, I apologize. You know? But you know why one works and the other one doesn't? It's not because those two companies don't have different goals. They both want to have a lot of people go through the line. But you know what? It's the way they manage it. It's the practices. It's the systems that they have. You will not rise to the level of your goals. You will rise to the level of your systems, of your practices, of your habits. That's what you're going to rise to. There's a man by the name of James Clear, and I think I might have put this wrong up there, but it's James Clear wrote in a book called Atomic Habits, you don't rise to the level of your goals, you fall to the levels of your systems. Everybody has a goal. You won't rise to the level of the goal. You will fall to the level of your habits or your systems. And so we have to get, are you ready? Consistency in having good habits. We have to have consistency in what we do. Here's what successful people do, things consistently. What other people do occasionally. Successful people do things consistently that other people only do occasionally. I know people that save money every once in a while. I know other people that save money systematically. I know some people that are nice to other people every once in a while. I know some people that are nice to other people systematically. So whatever you do, I know husbands that are nice to their wives occasionally. I know husbands that are nice to their wives systematically. Can I hear an amen from the ladies? Amen. So I could turn that on the other side and say, you know, same thing for men. There are some wives that are only nice occasionally and mean systematically. Can I hear an amen from the guys? Yeah, you know, I'm thankful there weren't a lot of amens there, you know. Of course, then your wife might be sitting by you and you better not have said that, so. But your life is the result of your habits. And so let me talk to you for a few moments. And we've been talking about this pattern, that there's a circumstance that happens. There's a cue that happens. In addiction, they call it a trigger. There's something that arises. And so you have a cue and it's cueing you for a response. So you begin to have a response. And here's where, see, most of the time you don't have any control over the cue, but you have control over the response. So how you begin to respond will begin to determine, it will start to be the story that you write. It'll be the line upon line. It will be the, it'll be the telling of who you're going to be that will eventually condense down to one thing, because ultimately it will bring results. And we do these results, honestly, what happens is we do this over and over again because we feel some sense of results. We feel some sense of reward by whatever it is that we've chosen to do to end the queue. Like the queue happens and I've been talking a lot about this, but you know, you're tired and you're exhausted, and at the end of the day, and you remember there's a donut in the cabinet, and so you honestly, queue response is this, and then for about 10 minutes you get the results of that sugar high, right? Like you get about 10 minutes of that sugar high, so you get that results. But the problem with it is you still have the goal that you would really like to be, not be tired and be healthy, but the problem with it is it ends up being an actual downhill habit. Your response is actually a downhill habit rather than something that's taking you forward. Today, I'm going to talk to you for a few moments, and I want to talk to you about maybe how we can respond differently, and I've been saying these things for a few weeks. I've been trying to look at it from different angles to help you guys get some grasp on maybe how you can apply it into your life. There are two stories in the Bible that I want to take a look at for a few moments, and these two stories are famous stories in the Bible. And the first one is about a man by the name of Samson. Samson was famous. Samson was a warrior. He had a call from God on his life to do great things. And from the time he was a child, if he heard the word of the Lord and obeyed the word of the Lord, which was that he would let his hair grow, then it was just an act of obedience. Like there was no power in his actual hair. It was obedience to God. And God would give him strength in his obedience. And so he's doing great and mighty things for God because God's empowering him to do it, because he's making some actions following God in one place in his life. He has an uphill goal, but here's the deal, is then he ends up with some downhill habits. And so if there's ever been a one sentence, like a condensation of a person's life into one sentence, like this is where their life ended up, it's in Judges, the 16th chapter and the first verse. Are you ready? Here it is. This is a one sentence summary. One day Samson went to Gaza where he saw a prostitute. Honestly, like I'm almost, we don't need another verse after that. You can tell this story's gonna end badly because his response, like it's not gonna end up cute response. He's gonna get a result, not the result he intended to get. Uphill goal, follow God. I want to be a great warrior. Downhill habit. And so I did a little bit of study on this. Gaza, from where Samson lived, it was actually the Philistines' headquarters. First of all, the Israelites didn't like the Philistines. In fact, they were enemies. And so he's literally going to spend the night with the enemy. He's going to go spend the night with something and someone that can take his life. And it's 25 miles from Samson's home. Okay, which is in Zorah. 25 miles. I did a little bit of research. You know, there are 5,000, how many steps, how many feet in a mile? 5,286 or something like that. 682, maybe, but yeah. Just pray for my dyslexia that the Lord will just heal me with those numbers here. But here's the deal is this, okay, but those are steps, those are feet, you know, that's this, okay? But that's not how you get to Gaza. That's not how you get where you're going. It's steps. And so they say that a step, there's about 2,000 steps in a mile. 2,000 steps. He's in Zorah, his home, and now he's going to Gaza, and he has to take 25 times, he has to take 2,000 steps. He didn't get there by one step. He didn't get there by one moment. He did it by, are you ready? A total of 5,620 steps, I'll say it again, this is an actual number, 56,250 steps. 56,256 steps. Here's the deal. So it's not just one thing. We don't end up in the place in our life because we've taken one step. We end up in the place in our life because we've taken that step over and over and over and over again. And that begins to tell the story of our life. And so I'm going to ask you this question today. I'm going to ask you two major questions. Here's the first one. I'd like for you to write it down. Based on who you want to become and based on the person that God's called you to become, are you ready? What is the one habit you need to break? What's the one pattern you need to break? I'm going to give you a second to write that down. What's the habit you need to break? Here's what James, the first chapter in the 21st verse, says this out of the Good News Version. So get rid of every filthy habit and all wicked conduct. Submit to God and accept the word that he plants in your hearts, which is able to save you. Hear the word of God. Get rid. I heard somebody years ago literally said to me, I keep a bottle of alcohol. I used to do alcohol all the time. I was an alcoholic. And I put a bottle of alcohol up on the mantle just as a sign of victory. I'm like, you're a fool. No, just serious. Like, that is one bad, get rid of everything. Here's the thing that I've observed is that, like, good habits start with a difficult decision, end up in a good payoff in the future. It's a difficult decision now, but they pay off in the future. Bad habits end up with an easy decision now, bad result in the future. I'll give it to you again. A good decision is difficult to make now, but it ends up with a great benefit, great reward. A bad decision is like easy benefit now. It's easy. It's immediate benefit. It's that sugar high. It's that relaxation. It's that sneaking out for a cigarette just to calm your nerves. But it's decades before the doctor tells you you have cancer. I'll go ahead and talk for a couple of minutes. It's that eating burgers every day. It's easy because you can go through the drive-thru. It's a bad deal when they tell you, like, you're going to have triple bypass. Like, easy up front, difficult on the backside of that. It's easy, honestly. It's easy to dismiss your family members and your wife. I'm preaching good stuff right here. It's easy to dismiss people because, you can just walk away from them. But the problem with it is it ends up complicated on the backside of that. So you have to start to make some good decisions. So I'm going to give you just a few cues on how we break bad habits. Acknowledge it. Like, you can't break a habit you will not acknowledge. You can't break a habit that you don't think is bad. Like, I don't have a bad attitude. It's like, honestly, you should back up on that just a little bit. You know? You have to be able to acknowledge it. Like, I don't have a problem with that. Take a step back and see what's going on in your life. Maybe I'll give some. I've been coming up with lists, and the Lord's been convicting me in the lists. Are you ready? In attitude, do you have a critical spirit? Do you have an attitude of negativity? Do you have a tendency to complain? Are you a gossip? Do you just talk too much? Overeating, sweets, fast food, snacks. When it comes to our digital life, are you on video games? Did you know that, like, it's a big deal? Children who were once on video games as children are now husbands and wives who are neglecting families and jobs to be on video games. How about this? Binge watching. That wasn't even a word we knew of a couple of years ago. You know what binge watching is? Put the rest of your life on hold and watch one television show for like 20 hours. When was the last time you did anything good for 20 hours? Okay. I'll go on. Porn. Always being on your mobile device. nicotine, prescription drugs, alcohol, flirting with somebody who's not your spouse. Okay? So how do we break these habits? We have to acknowledge them. Here's two things that I'm going to tell you to do. Here's the first thing, how to break it is make it difficult. Make it difficult to do. Remove the trigger. Make the good stuff easy to do, but make the trigger hard to do. Are you ready? So that you don't end up going into their car or their apartment to do something you shouldn't have done to start with, driving separate cars. Dead silence. Like, because this is kind of common in our culture, like it's an acceptable thing. But let me just tell you, like there's an aspect of that that as you do that in your life over and over and over and over again, the act of spending the night with somebody or sleeping with somebody, and well, I don't know why we call it sleeping because nobody's sleeping, but here's the deal is this. You know, are you ready? You're entwining yourself with someone who God only intended for one person. And now you've complicated yourself. Like, okay, you're saying like, well, I can have sex with them and not feel anything about them. Okay, can we talk about, that's a problem. Like that really is a problem. Okay, so here, separate cars. Make yourself a commitment that you're not going into an apartment with somebody alone. You know what we do on our staff? Like we have a policy on our staff that we can't be in the office alone with somebody of the opposite sex and the doors be closed. That's why we have glass doors in our office. Like make it difficult. Make it difficult for yourself to end up in some place that you shouldn't. Put a porn tracker on your computer. Don't drive through that part of town where you used to buy your drugs. I'm serious. I don't care if you have to pay tolls and drive the in. If you have to drive, honestly, if you have to drive from here to Fashion Square Mall and there's a neighborhood you go through that you used to go use it, I don't care if you have to get on the expressway and drive down to the airport and come back around the other side and pay $4 in toll. It's better for you to make that decision than make the easy decision and go through that part of town. Amen. Okay, here we go. Like, make it, remove the trigger. You know what happens to me? Like, I have people at my house all the time. And when everybody's walking out of the house and I have food left over in the house, the food that I know I cannot and should not eat either goes out the door with them or it goes down the disposal. I have thrown away whole packs of Oreo cookies. Yeah, seriously. You know? I like you said, like you should have called somebody. Like, honestly, on the way to their house, I'd have showed up and I had black in my teeth, you know? But so like I make it difficult for me to do that. I don't buy it, I don't put bread in my house. I throw it away or give it away. And so, okay, if you have a difficulty, I don't even know where ladies buy clothes anymore. Macy's. Kohl's. Oh, my Lord. We need to have a Kohl's altar call. I'm telling you, so here's the deal about that is this. If you overspend at Kohl's, if you have to go to Kohl's, put your credit card in someone else's hand. Don't take it. Okay. If you have issue, like some of us should not be going to the buffet. Amen. Okay. Proverbs 4 verse 14 says this, do not set foot on the path of the wicked or walk the way of evil doers. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn from it. And go on your way. If you want to get to that place, you're going to have to acknowledge that it's there, and then you're going to have to respond to that. Here we go. Then what you have to do is interrupt the action. Like you normally have a response to this, you're going to have to interrupt that action. You're going to have to go through a different part of town. You can't go to the buffet anymore. If you struggle with loneliness, honestly, are you ready? If you struggle with loneliness, get around some people. I'm like, I'm so lonely. I spend all my time alone. How about this? Get around. Honestly, like, we have groups here almost every night of the week. If you're struggling with loneliness, honestly, get in a group. Don't sit at home and sulk in that all day long. How about this? Go out and serve someone. Go and pour into somebody else's life. If porn is a problem, put a tracker on your phone or confess it to somebody and make yourself accountable. There are five major triggers. I'm going to give these to you really quickly. I have God Works Miracles. I'm going to finish this in 6 minutes. Here we go. Watch for five major triggers. And maybe the people who have gone through addiction, you kind of know these. Places. The place is a trigger. Time is a trigger. Some of us have a time of the day when we're more prone to stuff. And you need to, like, close the door. Interrupt the pattern at that time of the day. Interrupt whatever it is at that certain time of the day. Honestly, let me just tell you, and please don't take any offense in this. Confess your faults one another, pray for one another, you might be healed. I wake up really early in the morning. I am not nice until about 10 o'clock. You know, I try, but the people around me just, you know. Honestly, the truth is, and some of the staff's down here going like, 10? You said 10? Here's the deal. So here's what I have to do. Honestly, like, I have to make sure that I get my time in with God in that time when I would be around other people and just be grumpy. Okay. Manage your time. Mood. Are you ready? Mood is a trigger. If you're tired, if you're hungry, you know, they actually put into the dictionary hangry. That's a real word now. If you don't know what that word is, talk to Wendy. She used it the other day, so I'm just going with her. Are you ready? If your mood, if you're easily offended, it's a mood. Moments. If your moments are when I get around my college buddies, my life goes, I have an uphill goal, downhill habit. Your college buddies need, you need to expose that in your life and close the door on that trigger. And there might be certain people, a certain guy, a certain girl, a certain person in your office, a certain person in a store, interrupt the action. Don't do it. Find something better to do. If it's a place, like if you're struggling in going to a certain restaurant and you overeat in that certain restaurant, don't go there. Go to the gym. Honestly, like, just do the opposite thing. Just make the decision that I'm going to establish a pattern. If you're lonely late at night and you watch porn late at night, if you're lonely late at night and you eat late at night, find some way to interrupt that pattern. And I'm going to just give you just a few things. And I found this statistic, which I thought was very interesting. There are some times when we have to find some new people in our life because there are people in our life that are our downhill habit. There's a conclusive study that I found recently that our habits are closely related to the people we associate with closely. Our habits are they're related to the people we associate with closely. They tracked 12,000 people for 12 years. And this is what they came back with. If your best friend is obese, you have a 57% chance of being obese also. If your best friend is obese, you have a 57% chance of being obese also, because you will start to glean their habits. How about this? On the other side of this, on the good side of this, though, if one friend loses weight, if one of your five closest friends loses weight, you have a 33% chance of losing weight also. So the people around you have some influence. So here's what Proverbs 13 says. Walk with the wise and become wise, for companions of fools suffers harm. I'm going to give you one more story. Are you ready? One more story. And this is the story of Daniel. The story of Daniel is just the opposite. What habit do you need to break? Take a look at the story of Samuel, of Samson. Here's a habit. Daniel was a godly man. Daniel served in a pagan society under a pagan king. And here's what it says in Daniel 6. It pleased Darius, who was the king, to appoint 120 satraps. And these were men that would basically be leaders in the community to rule throughout the kingdom with three administrators over them, one of whom was Daniel. The satraps were made accountable to them so that the king might not suffer loss. Now, Daniel was so distinguished himself among the other administrators and the satraps that his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. Like, okay, now that's not something he did one time. It's like he lived a daily life that was so exceptional. We don't know exactly what it was, but we know that there was something exceptional about him. And at this time, the administrators and the satraps tried to find grounds for Daniel. They didn't like him. Not everybody's going to be happy when you excel. Not everybody's going to be happy when you succeed. And they could find no corruption in him. So what they did was they wanted to find an angle on him. And his point of exposure was his faith. Verse number 5 says, these men said, we will never find any basis for charges against this man, Daniel, unless it has something to do with the law of his God. So they tricked the king. If you know the story, they tricked the king to make a rule that if anybody worships anybody else, knowing that Daniel worships another god, if anybody else worships anybody else within the next 30 days, you're going to have to throw him in the lion's den. And here's what Daniel did. Are you ready? The cue was the challenge on his faith. Are you going to serve God? Are you going to make the right decision? And here's what he did. Are you ready? Now, when Daniel, verse number 10, chapter 6, when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened towards Jerusalem. And three times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God. Here we go. One line, one sentence story, something that summarizes a person's life. He got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. Trouble came, on my knees. Trouble comes, giving thanks. Trouble comes, I don't care if it feels like it's pushing in on my faith and challenging my faith, I'm going to give thanks. Never underestimate what God can do in just one simple thing done over and over and over and over again in your life. Our decisions, they determine who we are. And ultimately, the results that we get, they end up being the reward of our life. And so if you want to be someone who has a great marriage, do it over and over and over again, not just one time. Do what you're supposed to do over and over and over again and establish the good habit, establish the good thing in your life. If you want to become a person who is lifting up other people, then do it on a regular basis. If you want to be someone who is generous, then give on a regular basis, even if it's just small. Be a godly example to the people around you. Be a godly example to the people on your job and do what you're supposed to do. And so I'm going to give you just a few things and I'm going to close. Make it obvious. Make it obvious and make it easy. This is how you establish a new pattern. Make it obvious, make it easy. In order to establish a new pattern, I if I'm going to bring something, I brought a gift for somebody today. I forget stuff all the time, but I brought a gift for somebody today. They were talking about a journal, and so I brought this. You know what I did with this last night? I put it in front of the garage door. I made it obvious because I'll forget it. And so I made it obvious. Make it obvious and make it easy. Don't try to do everything all at one time. Pray for a minute. Write one note. Be generous. Like, become faithful in your giving. Do what you're supposed to do. And as you do that, listen, God has something he wants to do in your life. I was sharing this story with, I think it was Pastor Jeff a couple of weeks ago, that the Bible tells us in Matthew, the 25th chapter, of a story of some men that there was a master who was dealing with, and he came back to town and he had given them some responsibility and said, listen, I've got some stuff I want you to do, some goals. And he came back, and two of the three guys, here's what he responded to them. Well done, good and faithful servant. Now, it wasn't because they did something good one time. It was because they had a pattern of doing good stuff. One day I hope to stand before God and hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." But in my life, I want to hear when I'm standing in the line when somebody says something mean to me and I could just say it back to them, for me to be still and be patient and hear, "Well done. Well done." When I meant to go spend money and I would have wasted my money and I didn't, "Well done." When I could have gone to the wrong part of town and done something with somebody I shouldn't have done, and I stayed home and prayed or did something constructive or just stayed away, "Well done." I'll receive the ultimate well done if I live a lifetime of well done's. So today, let me just challenge you. Build your life one line upon line, action upon action, one activity after another, living a life pattern that will lead you where God wants you to go. Let me pray with you today. Lord, we love you and we thank you, God, for your blessings. I thank you, God, for bringing us here together and every person that's in this room. And now I ask you, dear Lord, that you will help our eyes to be opened for us to see the places where there are snares and help us to see how we're responding to the cues. And we can't control the cues, but we can control our response. So will you give us the power to see what we're supposed to do and then the power to do what we're supposed to do, not just once, but over and over and over again. And dear Lord, as we do this, ultimately it brings us closer to you. Amen. Every head bowed and every eye closed. If you're here today and maybe you've never made a decision to follow God fully and day to day, like it's going to be, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to just say yes to Jesus and follow him. I'm going to pray a prayer and invite you to have the opportunity to say yes to him. And then we're going to allow God to do his work in your life. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Will you pray after me? Dear Heavenly Father, I pray in the name of Jesus. I acknowledge that Jesus is your Son and that he came to give me an abundant life. I receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior today. And anything that separates me from you, I lay it down at the cross. Jesus, come in. Draw me closer to you. And from this day forward, I will follow you. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you just prayed that prayer and maybe prayed it for the first time, or you prayed it when you were young and needed to pray it again today and come back and renew your faith in God. If you just prayed that prayer today, I'd like to just take a moment here and say you made a great decision. But if you prayed that prayer, I'm not going to embarrass you. If you prayed it and needed to pray it, can I see your hand right now? Just let me see your hand. Yes, I see it. Yes, yes, yes. I see hands going up all over the room. Yes, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen, amen. Listen, if you just raised your hand, there's a card in the seat in front of you that says, "I made a decision to follow Jesus." We want to help you make this a pattern. We want to help you make this a lifestyle. Fill out that card and turn it in at Starting Point Guest Center at the end of the day. Come on, let's stand together as Josh sings.